Ow. Just kidding. I was going to tell everyone you hit me. It took me a minute. It's where my tears really come from. Amanda beats me at work.
Oh, that was so good. I wasn't ready for that. Okay, now I don't even know how to start. Well, she made me chuckle. So that's good. But welcome back. We're here. We missed you guys. It's been a whole week. If you guys haven't had a chance to listen to last week's episode, we did a live special with our doctors, and it was actually a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
They did great. I was a little worried that they were going to be nervous. They were nervous.
They were nervous beforehand. I think once it started, it was fine.
Yeah. Having the four of you together really cracks me up. But anywho, yeah. So go check that out if you haven't already listened to it. But moving right along, let's jump into our first episode of May.
Holy shit.
Ugh. May.
Why is it that? Why is it May already?
I know. Where is time going? And I think it doesn't help that we are trying to shove so much into our day-to-day, and it just is hard. So, before we jump into our super amazing episode today, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Dr. Olson.
And we are
Feces and Laughter.
All right, straight into it. So
Wait.
Oh.
Our podcast is named Feces and Laughter.
Yeah.
I think we have to scrap this episode.
No. No, she's trying because she doesn't want to talk about it. But we're going to talk about it because it's the beginning of May. And May is, I think it's a really important month, especially in the now and here in today's times. Like, I don't know why those were the words I would. That's what came out of my mouth. That's what came to my brain and flowed out of my mouth. But I think in today's time, this is weird. Mental health it's a big thing. Like, it's not as taboo as it used to be. And people are talking about it. So we should talk about it. We're in vet med, and vet med is very emotionally heavy.
Agreed.
There's a lot. There's so much. So I thought, what better way to kick off Mental Health Awareness Month than to talk about just one of the things that I think I love about you the most in the day-to-day. Like, you just... anyways, so the whole reason this episode is starting, and I don't even want to talk about what we're talking about yet until I talk about this. So the whole reason why we're doing this episode is because I came across a sticky note that had a to-do list for you.
Dr. Olson's to-do list. I can't wait to hear about it.
It was written by one of our RVTs, somebody who has worked with you for the past 11 years. Very closely by your side, like 100% of the work time. And I feel like is one of the people that knows
scared.
You. That I feel like is one of our staff members that knows you best as far as like coming to work. So the second and third, fourth bullet were just giving you a list of different training documents that she wanted you to help get together for some of our new employees. As you guys may know, we have quite a few new people on our team, and we've been doing a lot of training and really focusing our efforts there. And her to-do list had a couple of different things that she wanted you to go over. And the first bullet, before all of the actual important bullets, was the most important bullet. It said, stop crying at work.
Okay, I had a rough spell.
And it just made me chuckle because I think that's a bullet that we could all set up for ourselves here. But also, it was so funny that it was on a legitimate, like, serious-ass to-do list. Like, very serious thing. She wanted you to type up a training document for how you want your surgery set up for nares and soft palate procedures. And she wanted a training document on how to do some, like, certain flushes with your exotic patients. It's just, like, legitimate issues or like training situations.
Yeah, real stuff.
And then stop crying at work. What do you have to say for yourself?
I think I have a confession. I'm pretty sure I told her that that was a goal of mine, and I think she was taking it very seriously and helping me prioritize my goals at work.
There you go. It's like you can't type up documents if you can't see the screen through your teary eyes. So
that's exactly, I think, how it went. She was like, get your shit together because we have stuff to do and you're always in a box of tissues. Which is so ironic for me. I feel like if people that know me, I'm not really that emotional.
Yeah.
But man, does this place bring it out of me.
It is. Like I said, it's...
And that sounds in a bad way. I don't necessarily mean in a bad way.
No.
Just a lot of emotions here.
It is. It's very heavily driven by emotions, this whole industry. And I think that...
I can't wait to fail at my goal list because you're going to make me cry at work. Like, we're sitting in an exam room. This is technically work. And I'm going to cry. And then what? Am I fired because I failed my goal? Because now you're going to have to fire me on a podcast.
I'll just write you up. Final warning.
Final warning. Okay, fuck. Okay. I'm going to try real hard. I don't need that final warning yet.
No. I don't know what I if we just look at the last month, just the last like 30 days, last 4 weeks. I mean, I can already think of a handful of reasons of why I know I've cried. So
what if I've cried over it, but it didn't happen this month, but I cried over it again this month? I still have to count
that
it.
That counts. Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
I think that counts.
All right. I just start, or do you want to title this episode of Shenanigans? Or...
Oh, I mean, they've already seen the title, but if you just clicked and you're not a reader, I mean, it's pretty funny, and I think that you should have taken the time to read it. I thought it was really funny, but it's April showers bring May flowers. So don't worry.
The showers are my literal salty tears.
They are. They're your tears, but the flowers are all the, I think, just the, like, beautiful moments that we have in between all of these sad moments and these frustrating times. And so we've got some of those to sprinkle in there too. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'll even sprinkle them in while you're telling me about different ones, because I bet you I have some to go with some of your stories.
Okay. I'm like not excited about this at all, but...
We'll just do a few.
All right. We'll start off with the fact that I'm sad about frogs not wanting to eat. And I've cried over it.
Okay, this is also a sad moment, too, that goes along with your frogs. It was while you were gone out of town, and one of your frog patients that's coming in for...
butt stuff?
Injections.
Oh. Okay, so
I don't
so
know
not,
if it's a butt stuff frog.
No,
but
not the prolapse
frog. I don't think it is.
Frog.
No,
okay.
It's the little dumpy.
I know, that's the one that I cried about.
I know,
about.
He's so cute.
He doesn't want to eat. Oh,
that makes me so sad. It makes me even more sad because when he came in to do his little injection, he made the most pitiful little squeak, and it broke my heart. Like, I heard it, and I turned and looked at the girls, and I was like,
did you do that to him?
What did you do to him? And they were just like, we just gave him his antibiotic injected. And I was like, no, don't do that anymore.
We're having to force feed him. He doesn't even want to eat. And he's making me sad.
I know. And exotics are the hardest, I feel like, because when they want to be stubborn, it just, it's so much harder. They're so small. And
yeah, and he just doesn't want to. So we're still giving him a chance.
Yeah.
We had a long talk at this last time and said, buddy, you gotta eat your mom's sad.
Because
his mom cries with me. So at least we cried together.
I'm glad I'm not in the room because I'd cry with you guys. Because I love him. And she's so sweet. So it just...
And most of these, I hope the owners don't listen because most of them don't see me cry. I like stand there. I'm like, okay, I gotta be like strong and like... I know it's emotional, but I don't want to add it to their emotions. So I get out of the room and then I cry and my staff's like, what happened? I'm like, I'm just happy or I'm just sad. And oh my God, it's not even my pet.
In a way, they kind of are our pets.
Yeah,
because we love them so much and we get to see them and love on them.
Yeah.
So they're our pets too.
Yeah. Frogs and ferrets. Ferrets have made me sad lately, too, because they just love to collect very, very, very
difficult to manage
diseases. And when they, when they stop responding to therapy or their quality of life has been declining, and it's so sad.
I know.
It's like not that this happens It happens every, we see this every day. We see it in all different species. And so, but there's certain cases that just like, I don't know if it's the feeling of failure as a veterinarian when you can't, like some cases we know, like this pet has a chronic kidney disease, let's say, and we've been managing it and they've gotten so much great quality of life with their owners for an extended amount of time. And at this time we know that this is what's happening. But when you feel like there should be more that we could do.
Especially when you have the clients that are trying everything. Like, we've got these clients that are bending over backwards, mm-hmm. and they're just like, what's the next option? And you go to the next option, and then what's the next option? And they are literally, like, they're doing everything. Yes.
And we just had one the other day. That's another cry, was doing surgery on one of our patients we see all the time. I swear he just wants his owner to have to come here and hang out with us. And he doesn't like it here. He tries to whoop our ass the whole time. And he wins. Like, he actually wins. We have to sedate him so that we can win sometimes, just so he knows that we're in this, you know? Like, we got to get some points on the board. and so we were in surgery and unexpectedly saw that there was probably a bigger problem. Like, I was able to fix the problem that we went in to fix, but then detected that this is probably going to be something that continues forever just because anatomically there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And it's in a location. I don't want to like talk about his case in particular, but it's in a location that is not surgically resectable, and it just sucks. Like, we've spent years with this patient and have gotten him to such a better place, and now he's dealing with a completely unrelated condition that more than likely is going to take his life after years and years of an owner doing every fucking thing and more, and way more than what I would have expected, than I would have probably been able to provide my pet.
And I think what makes it so hard is these are the clients that come in, and even though things are not going their way, even though we're hitting walls with their patient and we're finding that maybe it is something that's untreatable or unmanageable, they're still like, they're understanding, and they come in and they still laugh with us, and there's like no harboring of ill feelings. Like, they're sad.
Right.
We're sad right along with them. But it's not a blame game, and it's not you fucked up and you didn't do what you're supposed to do. It's just like, thank you for trying everything that you can do. Yeah. I get it. It still hurts and it's still hard and it still sucks, but I get it.
And it's hard because we can't, everyone's going to be, even if they're, like, this pet is alive and thriving. It's not like it's not, but we just found something that more than likely is going to become a problem. And that's a level of grief that you need to go through. Finding out your pet has something that most likely is going to take its life. I think trying to anticipate or experiencing someone else's grief towards you, I think is what is in my emotions feed off of. So I almost get more emotionally upset when people are so understanding.
Yeah.
Because I want to blame myself for not being able to fix it. Just because that's, I think, as a lot of veterinarians feel that way. Like, we are here to fix animals.
Yes.
When we can't, gosh, that is fucking terrible. I'm gonna swear a lot.
Together.
This. I know.
Take a sip of your
Okay. I should stop swearing.
No. I see your face.
Okay. I'm gonna get it together.
Get it together.
But yeah, it's a lot of different people's emotion that you're feeding off of, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that you definitely struck on something really important, and we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but that anticipated grief. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really big layer of it. And I don't think that owners always get that part, you know, like, not until we're almost at the very, very end. Like, I know me personally, and
it's on my bucket. I mean, like, my list here.
Can I go there now?
Yeah. You might as well jump to that.
Yeah. but yeah, when it comes to like anticipated grief, like, I know me and you worked, I mean, obviously, like, you've known my cat forever, but, like, especially over the last year, I want to say, we had been working on my cat, and she is just an old lady, and so we knew that it was coming, and we tried a lot of different things, and
I really thought outside the box on ways to try to manage her pain, for sure.
And it wasn't working, and I think that, like, I knew it was coming, and we had talked about it. I mean, I think last time I brought her into the clinic and we talked about it. This was like back in maybe November, right? Beginning of December. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I told the kids, we're probably not going to have her through Christmas. So go ahead and love on her heart now.
Stop having like kids because that makes it worse.
Oh man.
Because it is, it's hard to see a family grieve.
It is. But I mean, even like letting my kids know that and then still making it through and making it in until what, the end of March?
Yeah.
I'm like, they even
and
then.
We found a freaking bullet in her skull.
Oh my God. We did all the things with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I brought her in because she was really, really declining at that point. And
it sounds
so
like your cat
more.
Got shot like in its like thug life
she
at your house,
was a thug.
But that was
not
before.
At my house. No. But she was definitely
she was done with that life.
She was a gangster.
Yeah.
pre my house, when she came in here, she was pretty gangster. But yeah, it was just it
she
was
liked also whoop our ass. Why do so many
know.
Of these animals we love want to kill
don't
us?
Know. But but yeah, I think realizing and I was anticipating in a way that I don't think I was really accepting. Until like when I started talking to you and I was like, hey, let's do it. And then it hit me and I was like, fuck, this sucks. But yeah, like I said, being in the industry and knowing that that's what was best, knowing that that's what was coming. Like you still to anticipate that is not easy.
No, it's almost worse. It almost is better sometimes after.
Yeah.
Because the weight of that decision, is it the right time? Is it the wrong time? Like trying to guide someone through that is one thing, but having to experience it is another. Like you can give sometimes pretty good advice, but when you're trying to, when you're living it, it's hard.
Yeah, definitely sucks. But
the puppy that was hit by a car and I just wanted to save its life.
Yeah, and that one I wanted to be so hopeful because they called and they were here like within 5 minutes of it happening. Like they literally jumped in the car and came straight over and. I remember running the puppy back and I was just like, it's going to work. Like, it's going to be great. We're going to be fine. And I don't know. I think it's hard to try to be so positive and just really hopeful that cases are going to work out and pull through.
Yeah. And then like, sometimes they kind of rally. So I think a lot of patients in trauma cases or just like unexpected death, like seizures and stuff. Sometimes they'll have a period where you're like, oh yes, like they're doing a little bit better. And it's then that they like to freaking crash, like our heron.
Oh my gosh.
I was so upset about this.
You guys, first of all, wait. So Dr. Olson calls me at like 8:45 at night. She's like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know, like getting ready to eat dinner super hella late because I don't know, we've been at work all night. I don't know. So I was just like, well, I'm literally shoving food in my mouth right now. What's up? She was like, I was going to see if you wanted to come with me on an adventure. There's maybe an injured heron that might need some assistance. It's been sitting on the side of this road for a hot minute. So I'm going to go try to get it.
I like how you talk how you would talk. Like, is that how you read messages for me or how? It's like hella late and
yes.
I don't know what you just said about how long it was on the side of the road, but
that was all.
I just really hope that that's what I sound.
That's how I read it. That's,
okay, cool.
That's what
cool,
you sound like.
Cool, cool.
And so I was just like, okay. And you told me, you were just like, actually, wait. I'm going to drive out there and just see if it's still there. Because it's been like, when by the time you had been messaged
been
about
hours,
it, it had already
I think.
Been a while. So you were just like, I'm gonna go see.
Everyone was
it's
trying
there.
To find somebody to get it, and like no rehab, like nobody was available, and so somehow they found me through a friend, and then I was annoying you, but then I was like, shit, if I tell everyone to go out to this like far out place
definitely
in the country,
wasn't super close.
No, and I was like, if I get there and we're just staring at like open
each
space
other.
Because there's no fucking bird, they're gonna kill me. So,
so
I went,
yeah,
and there was a bird.
There was, and so you called me, and I was already ready. Like, I was just sitting there on standby. I was just like, okay, I'm done eating. Is there a bird or is there no bird?
The people that were there, I was startling because I was like, oh, yeah, if we just grab this, and then you guys walk this way, and then you can help me grab it, and they were like, no. Like, no other word was needed. Like, no, you know, like, no is a complete sentence.
It was a complete silence.
It was like, yeah. No, hard period. Fucking pass.
No, period.
Yes. And they were like, here are some supplies you might need, but you're on your own, crazy lady. That thing's tall and has a giant beak, and they were not having it. And so I was like, well, shit, I don't want to approach it and be in a spot that it's just me. I'm so agile and athletic.
Mind you, so by this time, like I said, it was not close. It's not like it was like around the corner. It was maybe like a 13 to 15 minute drive away.
That you made it sound like it was so much further than that. And then
that's a pretty far distance if you are driving 60 miles an hour.
Okay, yeah, it was out there. Yeah, yeah.
And so by the time you like text me and you need my help and you need me to come to the clinic and get supplies.
Like, I also have a flashlight because it's pitch black.
You do. It. By the time I get out there, it's like 9:30.
Yeah.
And so I pull up. You had to stand on the side of the road and flash your light at me so that I knew exactly where to go. Yeah. And I pull in and lo and behold, there's this big fucking bird.
Who decides at this precise moment?
At this exact moment when I come with nets and gloves and blankets, it's going in the ditch.
It flies. First of all, it fucking tries to fly, which it's busted up. Like, this thing is busted. And it tries to fly into thick, thorny brush in a fucking ditch on the side of somebody's pasture with bull in it. Like, I can't get in there.
Yeah, we can't get on one side of it. And the other side, it's just like, it's a ravine.
It's a ravine.
It's a privacy fence of trees and thorns.
Yes.
This happened. That you can't really see in.
I forgot all the details of this. So we spot where it went.
Yep.
And it tucked itself into like a nest of thorns. Mm-hmm. So I decide the best course of action is for me to go in the ditch.
But before you do, we've got this poor guy who lives right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Who lives there to go and see what kind of wood he can find because it's raining. This ditch is muddy and full of water.
It was disgusting.
And so we tell him, go find whatever wood so we can kind of make a little bridge so that you can actually get over to the bird.
Bridge. I'm over 250 pounds. Was I thinking this piece of
So he comes out with like a sheet of plywood and we throw it in the ditch.
Yeah. And I think that the person that should go is me.
Yes.
So I do. I make it across on the piece of wood.
You did really well.
But then I had to get off the wood on the other side in the mud and the water in order to get this bird that has now tucked itself into these thorn bushes.
Even further as you are going at
him. Yes. Oh, of course. Because it's like, no, absolutely not. So now it's stuck in the fence that's on the other side in the thorns. Tay is holding a piece of wood over my head to try to hold the thorns out of my eyeballs, but it is my head. I can't even move at this point my head because my hair is all caught in thorns, and I'm just trying to grab this bird, which I can now see that its leg is twisted completely in a different direction. It is injured. There is blood. This is an injured bird. So I get the bird, and I'm so proud of myself.
And you take a step back.
And I am in the ditch. Yep. So I take a step back and realize I'm going to fucking faceplant because my shoe, both my shoes are actually in the mud, stuck underground. And so I was like pulling my leg up, and Amanda's dying laughing, by the way.
I'm holding a flashlight and the net, no, and a blanket ready to take him from you as soon as you came over. So I can't do anything
and
except
I can't
laugh.
Move because my hair is stuck in thorns. So Tay is trying to
Now he's also in the ditch.
I take a step. My shoe is the sound of like, have you ever listened to a horror film with subtitles? Squelch. That's the noise that it made when my foot now is removed from my shoe that's underground. And then I try to take another step and my other foot comes out of my shoe. So I have no shoes. My hair, Tay is getting thorn, like my hair detached basically. And I just have this busted up bird. Yeah. And now I have to get back over the piece of plywood, not strong plywood.
And now it's not just you on it. Tay is also on this plywood trying to help you.
Yes.
And so we get you back over and I was like, Tay, don't forget her shoes. Yeah. He did not hear the S on the end. He did not hear plural. And he was so proud of himself. I see him like reach down. He could only see it by the like bunny ears of your laces. Like that's all he could see of your shoe. And so he scoops it out by the bunny ears. And he comes out so proud. He's holding up the shoe. He's like, I got the shoe. And I was like, where's the other one? He was like, what? And the only reason he found that one was because of the other set of bunny ears.
Yeah. They're like completely... It looked like feet were still in them because the mud had filled them so fast. And so now I just had bare feet on a gravel ditch road thing with a bird in my arms. And it was just, it was pure chaos.
Yeah.
So we get to the clinic.
Yes.
We finally arrive. Like, we have this bird. We get to the clinic. We sedate it. We take x-rays. We clean up wounds. We splint the leg. We're getting on the phone with the rehabbers. We're getting it set up in for an enclosure overnight. And this thing has been a rock star. Like, we were able... Oh, it was... It literally could not have gone better. Everything was great. Great heart rate. We had Taylani, your daughter, here helping. And it was... It was wonderful. And I was like, this is rewarding. Like, we went through all that and I'm so proud of us.
Her, like, her who, like, she gets to see a lot of cool things here, but like, she got to help hold so that we could wrap the leg, and
she got to hear the heartbeat. Like, she was just, it was really cool. And of course, by that time, this is 11 o'clock at night. And so we are getting ready to, we turn off anesthesia. We've gotten pain medications in, everything is done. And this joker decides that now is the time to crash and completely goes into cardiac arrest. And we've tried CPR, emergency drugs, everything, and it proceeds to die. After all that, like, we, it was so defeating.
It really was. After hours, I just remember looking at you and I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I know that it was nothing that either one of us did, but I was just like,
I know. And you don't know who we're apologizing, but it's just, like, and sorry that this sucks. And oh, and then because it had pellets in its neck, like, it was clearly shot, I think, in the air and then fell because its leg was completely broken, but it was a transverse fracture. I really wanted it to get to a rehabber because maybe I think that a veterinarian could have like done some like external fixator or something to repair that. I really think that it had a chance to possibly heal from the broken leg, but I think the extent of the injuries from the gunshot, possibly plural, was just too much for it to handle. And it was emaciated. So I don't even know that this was a really recent injury because the amount of like, so they have the keel bone and the amount of loss of muscle and fat, this thing was under 5 pounds, like a large great heron under 5 pounds. It was really sad. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. I was really hoping that, I was again, so hopeful. Like, you just, you go into these situations optimistic because you don't, it's almost harder to go into them with a negative mind frame and then just have it be even worse, you know?
Yeah, no,
and so
absolutely.
It's like you go into,
and we're
like,
never
gonna
stop hoping. Yeah, like, that's the whole reason we're here, right? But like, we had a squirrel recently too that was grabbed and wasn't using its hind legs well, and we were hoping that it was just like going to be an inflammatory type thing and it'll be fixable. But it turns out it was a crushed pelvis, and we didn't feel like he was going to have an ability to have a good quality of life and be releasable. And so another, wild animal that had to be euthanized when it just. It just stinks.
Yeah.
And you have great people that call and try to get them in and trying to do the best thing possible. And then you feel like you've let them down too. As a veterinarian, like, you want to be able to uplift this profession and help these animals. And it just sucks that sometimes it's out of our hands.
What else is on your list?
Fucking Parvo.
You know, you guys, if there's anything you can take from our extended story time tonight or today, is that there's a reason why we stress vaccinating. There's a reason why we stress spaying and neutering. There's a reason why preventative medicine is called preventative medicine. Parvo is something that is preventable, and it is heartbreaking when we see these cases come in because parvo is not, it's not cheap to treat.
No, it is. It is not.
And
it stinks because I feel like most of the times we're treating parvo, it's with a limited budget because people could not afford the vaccine appointments. Yeah. And I understand that completely. And I'm not of the belief that certain people, because they don't have money, should never have a pet. I'm not saying that at all. But I think that if we can at least budget for the preventative health of a pet, even before we get it, like putting that aside or finding out what veterinary hospital you're going to use and see if they allow you to put money onto an account, something to make sure that we can at least get the vaccines and spay neuter hunger and that and the heartworm and flea and tick prevention, those things done. I understand if there's a major traumatic event or something where you don't have the funds for that. I totally get it. I get it probably too well, because I also have financial restrictions in place. But I seeing these dogs that are not even babies. I mean, we're seeing sometimes young, even adult dogs, yeah. even older dogs that get parvo because they've never been vaccinated. And watching pets die from such a sad, sad disease and having to be, it just, it's,
yeah,
it's terrible.
It is.
I hate this episode. Because my next two are like,
oh gosh.
These patients that go through so, so much, it's tough.
Yeah.
That we, I think we were talked about, we see owners do a lot, but we had one in recently that had been all over the place. Like, we couldn't even figure out what organ system was the problem, because this, the minute we started treating one thing, something else broke down and was having struggles. And it was getting so, so severe that we ended up having to refer to try to find out what was even going on. They went to referral. They couldn't figure out what was going on. And we ended up watching him decline. And even now, don't have a straight answer. Like, we know that his body, his organs were failing, but we still don't know exactly why. And
it happened so quickly.
It did. That old of a dog, no. A dog that was such a big part of his family's life, had the coolest experiences and adventures with them. A dog that was just like, oh, one of those, just, I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah. Like, he was a partner to this family, and it was rough watching them lose him.
Yeah. But April showers bring May flowers.
I know, they got a really cute puppy.
I know. And I think that there is definitely something to be said about this, because everybody grieves in their own way, right? I know that this, and I know some people will be like, well, I can't replace my pet that quickly. This isn't a replacement. By any means, this is not a replacement. They are still
grieving. On different pages with it.
Yeah.
So the husband actually was like, I don't think I'm ready for another pet. But the wife was like, I can't live in a household without one.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, even harder when you go from...
People grieve differently.
But then you go to no pets.
Yes.
You know, sometimes if you have pets, I'm not saying that the grief is any better. I'm just saying that, like, you have something else that needs you, and it feels a little bit like you could still... You're necessary. But when you go home, I remember with Thanos, when I went home and there was no nails on the floor, I was like, I didn't want to go to my house. I was like, see ya, I'm just going to be outside. Just
put
a tent outside.
Yeah, like, you have your... What's the word I'm looking for? Like,
your routine.
Yeah, you have your routine with your pets. And, like, with Sable, you know, we euthanized her right before we had to go out of town for a week for a volleyball tournament. We knew that she probably wouldn't make it through that week, and I did not want that to be something that happened while we were gone. I wanted the kids to have their time to say goodbye. I wanted them to have time to kind of regroup before we left to go out of town. And I didn't really let it settle within myself. So I remember texting you when I got home that night. I walked in the door and looked for her. Like, when we would come home from trips, she would be there in the living room waiting for us. I, like, every morning or whenever I went into our bathroom, like, in our room, she would come and sit directly between my feet. So even now, even to this day, I still find myself, when I go in the bathroom and sit down, like, I look for her. And
it's weird.
Been a month.
Yeah,
it's been weird. A month, and I still have not gotten over that yet. I still will sit on the couch and look for her to come through the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not happening. And it fucking sucks.
It does. It does. It's and yeah, so different people, like, some people are ready right away for a pet, others are not. The other one that, like, hits me all the freaking time is our little feline patient that put me through the ringer and challenged the shit out of me. I learned so much from this cat, and he, in less than 1 year of age, had been probably in a veterinary hospital from NC State, Avian and Exotics, here in an animal hospital, probably a third of his life. And definitely stumped all of us, including specialists. And
And you leaned on like zoo vets. Yeah. And you leaned on so many resources. I contacted so many people
and we couldn't figure him out. And eventually he just couldn't do it anymore. Couldn't hang.
Yeah.
He waited for me to go out of town like a big old asshole too, which is probably good because I think I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, I don't.
But I was really attached to him. I took him home sometimes. That's really terrible to say. But during like really rough recoveries when we were working on him on an emergency basis, I couldn't leave him. We don't have a local ER that will treat exotics and he wasn't stable enough to move. It was like from coming in here all weekend long to having him at house during bad recoveries to back in the office for weeks at a time. It was a
literally
lot.
Dropping what you were doing on. I know we would be out grabbing breakfast or lunch some days and he would call and it'd be drop what you're doing and we'll be there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Very special patient and devastating loss.
Yeah.
Especially a baby.
that one sucked. Yeah. That one literally was awful. Mm-hmm. But no, I definitely like I know that the list could literally go on and on. You know, like there is no
I mean, this is like literally like a 2 week period.
Seriously.
I mean, there's an outlier. That one was from a while ago, but the rest of them,
a few months ago.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even that long ago. Mm-hmm. And I think just knowing that, like, as veterinarians, as veterinary support staff, as veterinary technicians, like, we carry this shit with us. Like, sometimes current for a lot longer than we need to.
Yeah, like, current or, like, previous staff members and their pets and watching them grieve or having unexpected turns.
Yeah.
We've had some recently that are, I mean, just completely emotional. Like, going from a healthy dog that we didn't have any issues with to dying of heart failure or an arrhythmia or something instantaneously is something I don't wish on an enemy, let alone somebody that we've been through so much and been trying to save pets' lives together, and to experience that and or not even be there for it if someone else has to experience it, and not knowing how to reach out and let them know how much we care and are thinking of them, it sucks.
Yeah. But like I said, I know that I know that we could just go on and on. I feel like there's literally no end, and then there's always tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. There's always another case that we are going to get attached to or that we're going to go down a rabbit hole with.
But at least there's Mayflowers.
There are Mayflowers. There are. We've got so many. We get to see, like, I know you had one today. You had a Mayflower today of a case that has been rough.
Rough, yeah. I met that. I wasn't the first one of the doctors to work on him, so I can't take full credit for this Mayflower. But when I met him, he had a hematocrit of 5%. So for those that may not know that, that is extreme anemia, probably not really compatible with life. Typically, these animals need blood transfusions and intensive care. This is a one-year-old cat, so a kitten, basically, and he was dying. He was not eating. He was very, very ill. We had tried multiple methods of therapy and finally got the combination just right, and he has gone from that 5% to 31% in just a month, and the owner said he's a completely different cat. Like, he is doing so freaking well. It's been so nice to get those updates from them because, like we said, not all the updates that we get are that positive, but oh my gosh, that, like, I think I wrote holy smokes in his record because I was so excited. I expected maybe 10%, like a slow regrouping, if it even did. Like, we weren't even sure that therapy would work because even the specialist that we consulted with did not know exactly what was going on with him.
Yeah. And talking to the owner was, I mean, he was so excited. And it just, I don't know, that, like I said, Mayflowers.
Yeah.
It is. And I think when you're dealing with all of these really sad cases, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, but you start talking about grief, right? And I think one of the cool things that we've been able to implement at our hospital, we started this back in maybe September or October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
We started a pet loss support group. And it's been extremely
bittersweet. Can we say that?
It is bittersweet. But I think that this could be, this is another example of like your Mayflowers, right? Like, we have our clients that come every month. They're here every single time. And we've been able to watch them come in, like, from the very first visit, sobbing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're unable to console them. And they're just having such a hard time with their loss. And to watch them continue to come back and make new friends. They've found people that are dealing with the same type of loss as they are. And
now they're the ones helping
people. They are. They're the ones coming in and chatting, and they're uplifting other people. And now that we've been doing it for, I'm pretty sure, like at least 6 months now, like, it's just crazy to see how much it has benefited people.
Yeah. So I think that outside of the box type of thing, like, we knew that we were not providing something for people after their loss. And we were here the whole time beforehand. I feel like you make these relationships with people and they have somewhere to come to talk to somebody when their pet's there, but suddenly their pet's not there. They can't just schedule an appointment.
They don't feel like they have a reason to stop and talk to us.
Exactly. Which we're happy too. And this was a way for us to say, we know that your pet's gone, or maybe you're just anticipating your pet, the loss of a pet, but here's a resource for you that might help you in a time of need. We're not just here for pets in their times of need.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So yeah, anyways, that's just been something that's been really cool to watch grow and just kind of change as we see new faces coming in, especially as we deal with these losses.
And even seeing those clients get new puppies and bring, like, one was brought to the support group. And just seeing those new pets, we've seen their pets for 11 years and we watched them lose those pets. And now we get to see their new generation of pets and some, like, really cute little outliers, like a little wallaby, a little baby wallaby and a duckling. Those were some really cute ones that made us smile.
That duck was so cute. Yes. And that was one that
we met Franklin 2 today. There's another Franklin. Franklin's not alone.
Oh. But.
Yeah, there's plenty of positives, but it's so hard not to get wrapped up in those negative ones.
And I just thought, like, you know, we definitely, obviously, this is feces and laughter, so I think dwelling on the sad things sucks, but I don't know, I feel like this just gives you guys some insight and perspective into, like, what we're dealing with day to day. And if you're not here, if you don't come to our clinic, what I can guarantee you, your clinic's dealing with the same thing. And you could talk to any vet professional, and I can guarantee you they've got these same types of stories that they could pull out of their back pocket with little to no warning, you know?
We didn't even touch on half of the ones.
No. God, no. There's so many. We just go on forever.
I told her, I'm like, we could just go through the schedule. I could pick a few out from each day.
We've been, the past few weeks, like,
have been rough. Lots of really severe.
All of you guys, I've watched all of you guys really struggle with some really hard cases and some, like, really, really sick and tough cases. And it sucks to watch, especially when they're, like, as your support team, like, we don't feel like there's anything we can do. You know, like, to watch you guys beating your heads against a wall, talking to each other, talking to other colleagues at different hospitals, talking to specialists. I'm like, it sucks.
It's mentally draining, for
it
sure.
It is. But anywho, enough of that.
Yeah. Thanks for being our therapy.
Yeah.
That's it, right? We're done?
just about. I'm just going to tell them about this weekend, because if they've got some time tomorrow, they should plan to come out to the Greenville Convention Center.
Yes.
We've got our... I feel like they do this, like, quarterly, but then I look at the time sometime and it's not really
weird.
Quarterly.
Yeah, I agree.
But the Mid-Atlantic Reptile Expo is going to be here tomorrow.
See Lunchbox.
We're so excited. We get to take Lunchbox out there and just get to hang out and chat with everybody. If you've made it all the way through this and you are planning on coming out tomorrow, you should stop by our booth and, you know, come find us.
Wipe
say
my
hi.
Tears.
Yep. Bring some tissue. Tell us you listened to the episode and we might have a little surprise for you.
Yeah.
And then also, I think hopefully everything goes goes on without hitch, but we might be doing some little educational sessions while we're there, and I'm super stoked for it. I think it's going to be
freaking
cool.
That'll be so fun. I hope it works out. And if it doesn't work out, great. This, like, we'll learn from it.
This will be,
so that hopefully we can provide those in
we're
the future.
We're definitely going to go for it.
Yeah.
And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, we'll do better next time. So
you guys are used to this by now.
Oh, man. Anywho, well, I think that about freaking does it. Oh, I did. I forgot to talk about one thing. So, yeah, I think that about does it. You've heard our sob stories. Mail us tissue because you know we need it now. Come see us at the Reptile Expo. Stop by our booth so you can get your special little treat. And catch us on the next episode.
Yay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.